D&D in a Castle is a luxury tabletop RPG retreat in castles either in the US or in the Northern UK. It's 4 days of immersive gaming, food, even more gaming, riddles and entertainment with some of the best DMs in the world. And me. The price tag? Around $4,000. In this video, we'll try to find out if it's worth the price of admission, what you get for the money, and what the experience is like as a DM at the castle. For reasons too complicated to explain here, I, Mairi, was invited to be the first German DM at D&D in a Castle and join the fall event for the 50th anniversary of Dungeons & Dragons at Lumley Castle, which is only a 12-hour drive away. Yes, drive. Traveling by car allows me to bring my own props.
I'm actually bringing my own castle to D&D in a Castle, which I probably don't have to, but I'm happy that we're going by car so I can bring all my own stuff. D&D in a Castle has lots of terrain that you can loan for your games, but I'm really proud of this one and all the other stuff that I brought along, miniatures and terrain and everything. So the whole car is full with miniature people and miniature landscapes, which was fun at immigration. But we keep going now, we're almost there. So, see you at the castle.
Lumley Castle dates back to the 14th century when Sir Ralph Lumley decided he wanted a fortified home after fighting the Scots. It changed owners a few times and served as a residence for university students from the 19th century on until it was turned into a hotel in the 1970s. For the last few years, it's hosted spring and fall editions of D&D in a Castle. It is also supposedly very haunted, with the drowned wife of Ralph Lumley, Lady Lily Lumley, floating around and scaring guests.
I'm carrying my castle through the castle. So arriving now also means setting things up, moving everything in, making sure that we've got everything, and finding my way through the castle. This is like a maze, a beautiful maze. Okay, turning right. So all the different tables are scattered throughout the castle. And my room is called the Tomb of Horrors, which I, of course, love. And okay, honestly, the castle is not the first thing we're moving in here. So most of this was set up by the D&D and the castle team. So they have lots of stuff to use for us DMs, but I brought lots of my stuff too. So right now we're just setting everything up and finding a place to hide things. And since we are living next door, this is kind of a luxury thing. I can just move things in the other room, into the other room, and then when I need them, just move over quickly and grab them. But yeah, this is my table. This is where we are going to play for 24 hours at least, with lots of nice little shiny knickknacks like a dragon dice tower and music and light and everything. So I'm really looking forward to using all of these. Our room is right next door, which means I can just quickly grab stuff if I need it. We've got a connecting door, and this is where we're staying at the castle. I don't think I can recreate my initial reaction. I've never been in a room like this before. I think every room in the castle has a bed like this, but to me, this is just like in a fairy tale.
The bathtub in the middle of the room might need some getting used to, but there is a shower hidden behind a secret panel in the wall. We're not staying in the room for long, for now anyways. Jason Carl, whom we know from other events and who is known best for his vampire live streams for White Wolf, while also being an accomplished game designer, shows us around.
Okay, so we're entering Undermountain.
We're entering Undermountain, also known in the vernacular as the guard room, because during the castle's history, this is where some of the castle guards would sleep or wait. There is a blocked-off doorway and stair that leads to what would have been the dungeons through there. And according to local history or rumor, this was also a room in which prisoners were sometimes taken for summary execution. And I'm told by castle historians that in this room, some Scots reavers during one of the Scots uprisings on the border, which isn't very far from here, were taken here and killed. And the legend has it that this is one of the most haunted rooms in the castle. Lily Lumley is not our only resident ghost. There are
We've got a lady of the castle ghosting around.
There is indeed, and her history is very interesting. I encourage you to take the castle tour at night, camera on, and see if you can spot her. This room is also allegedly haunted. I can't claim I have seen anything unusual, but I'm usually running Dungeons and Dragons here, so maybe I just haven't noticed. But it's very atmospheric. I tend to run spooky D&D games, something I think you know a great deal about. You have done it once or twice, perhaps.
We've arrived before the start of the event, or rather in between two events. To celebrate the 50th anniversary of D&D, there are two campaign events with the so-called Castle Days in between. Some people stay at the castle for 2 weeks straight and never stop playing or talking about games. DM Chris, unlike many here, is unbothered by jet lag. He's from just around the corner.
Okay, Chris, can you explain to me what's happening here? Because the actual D&D in a castle starts tomorrow, so what's happening?
So this is part of the Dungeon Master University. These guys here are all guests, and then there's a couple of us DMs taking part in the games. The idea is it allows these guys to get a little bit of feedback from other players, from some of the DMs on site, and kind of improve their game or get some feedback on their games.
Or just play,
to be perfectly honest. All of these guys, with the exception of Tim, are on my table, so it's a little bit of revenge on my part.
Okay.
And probably on theirs. should be good fun. I'm looking forward to it. I don't get to play very often when I'm here, so it's always a good time.
Okay. The GM University, that's where the nice red and black jackets come into play.
So that's all the DMs are wearing these. They are spectacularly comfortable. it's a fantastic thing. It's something I've been interested in doing ever since I got involved with the company a little while ago. So it's very cool to see it actually coming to life.
So this is Duncan, who graciously agreed to run a game for me, or he runs a game and he agreed to have me at the table. So is this payback to Chris as he thought it might be?
Well, it wasn't supposed to be at first, but I'm beginning to think I might adjust things a little bit as we go to be more traumatizing, you know, just a little bit of payback. So it might be changing into that.
Okay. What's the basic idea, what I'm getting in for? I think I heard something about oozes.
There are oozes. There are a number of other things. It's kind of a traditional dungeon crawl, kind of in the vein of Tomb of Horrors, except my spin on it. So that's kind of the basic idea. So lots of puzzles, traps, and the occasional moist ooze.
Nice. I'm going to die. I'm looking forward to this.
Maybe not you. Chris, probably, but maybe not you.
We know who goes to enter every room first. So you've been doing the whole program with a DM University and the Castle Days in between.
Yeah. So me and my wife, we're here on our honeymoon. So we did Chronicle Mode, so we could be here both weeks. And then they put the Castle Days in between. And since I've been DMing now for 18 years at my home game, I was like, oh, this is great. I'll get a chance to run a game and get some feedback from some professionals. So I'm really excited when they talked about this part of the program, because I thought I would just have to find a way to occupy myself over the weekend. And now I get even more D&D. So, it's very cool.
Okay.
of my players arrive the next day. There is a big ceremony to welcome them to the castle with lots of pomp and theater. We even did a rehearsal, and we mostly stick to the plan. Squire Justin the Charming is the master of ceremonies, narrates show skits, and generally keeps people organized and happy. He is actually a trained opera singer and a songwriter and came to Castle Squiring by coincidence.
This is Justin, and you've been introduced to everyone as the Castle Squire.
That's right.
But you're a multi-purpose squire. I've seen you do lots of different things like playing chess, teaching archery, and just being everywhere at once. So what's it that you actually do as a squire?
Well, the castle squire is at the service of everybody at the castle. So when it comes to being here at the, well, this particular Castle Grimsar, or as we've redubbed it, Lumley Castle, that seems like it's flipped the other way around. We've dubbed it Castle Grimsar. It is Lumley Castle here in the UK. And so as people are getting ready to come here, the castle squire is engaging with them about anything that they need. And that is actually a team behind that. So that's our customer service team, is the castle squire. But on site, I get to embody the castle squire by being the one who is communicating with the castle directly about the needs of the guests and communicating with the talent directly about what they require. So I end up being the in-between, the one that's running to and fro, making sure that everything is just right and that each person has what they need to be able to put aside anything from life in order to focus on the game and to make sure that their experience in the castle is as delightful, varied, and wonderful as it can be.
Dragon Age franchise, and he is a core company member and guest DM on the Black Dice Society official D&D Ravenloft stream. Also, keeper of arcane lore for Chaosium's bookshop, called Bookshop of Arkham and Graveyards of Arkham, to Mark Meir! For 15 years, author of over 20 books and game supplements spanning several IPs and games, as well as 3 RPG-based novels, to Miley Stritter!
The players are called to join their parties by the DMs and then shown to the gaming rooms for a session zero. My group is 6 players from Canada and the US. For the session zero, we mostly talk characters and table rules and play a short introductory scene.
From each of you to the next, she twitches around, looks at an empty spot on the wall.
By now, I've met my fellow DMs. Among them are international stars, streamers, TV authors, voice actors, and more. B. Dave Walters, comic author, creator of the Black Dice Society streaming show, and the guy who taught the kids from Stranger Things how to play D&D, is one of the DMs with the most castle games under his belt.
One of the DMs with the most castles that you've run games at?
Yes, for the castles, it's kind of down to me and Mark Meir and Elisa Teague. If you include some of the ancillary events, like the lake houses and stuff, it's kind of down to me and Mark. I do grudgingly accept. I think he's a little ahead of me, but not by much. It's close. I'd let the record show I haven't checked the numbers because I could know for sure, but I don't want to know. I want to be able to say that it's close. But yeah, this is my 23rd or 24th table as of this recording. And it's wonderful. It's really wonderful. And it's interesting because in the infancy of the Castle project, they very much promoted it to us like, it's a vacation for you. And it's like, no, it isn't. This is work. It's a significant amount of work. And then it was almost like it's the novelty of coming to a castle. And it's like, well, truly, this is probably my 10th trip over here. So it's not even the novelty anymore. But there is something just beautiful about being able to unplug from the world and just do this one thing. To be able to come and take this adventure with these people and weave this tale together that we're always going to remember. And I literally still get messages from people that I had years ago that are like, I was just thinking about that thing, or they're still friends, or they now have a table game and run it. Or I've had groups where I came back and we did an epilogue a few years later. Because one of the things about D&D in general that I'm always sort of like waxing philosophical about, and the reason why tabletop games will never be completely replaced by video games, is your brain doesn't know the difference between something that is real and something that is vividly imagined. It's why you can wake up from a nightmare and your heart is pounding, because your mind doesn't know that it's imaginary. So when you come here and you go on these adventures with your friends, in every way that really matters, it's real. Like, once this is done, it's going to live in the same place in your mind as your 16th birthday party. You know, that you're like, so there was my first kiss. There was when I graduated from university. There's that time we fought Tiamat and lost. yeah. And I like being not just able to give those experiences to other people, but in the process of having them myself. And that's why I keep coming back, for sure. And why I think 60% of the participants are repeats. I think that's it, too. Same thing. Once you've been to the castle two or three times, you've been to the castle. So there's something else that you're getting out of this that you can't find anywhere else. And I think that's the most beautiful part.
You got a beat on this thing.
I was about to say, rumor is...
Because I've established this as, like, there's, like, nothing normally... Can I use Divine Sense?
Because
like, it's just like me opening up a sentence.
Yes, and what are you opening? Hi!
Kelly Lynn, how did you become a professional DM for D&D in a castle? So when was the first time that you came here?
I started in 2019, so been here for some time. Sort of started in the professional gameplay space online, and then made my way from Geek and Sundry, Girl Scouts Glory, all the different sort of games that I played for D&D, and then landed here.
So D&D Newcastle saw what you were doing on those games and invited you to come.
Yes, it was through D&D Newcastle, through recommendations, and just through general online revelry. I think they felt like it was a good DM to start the experiment with, and now it's not just an experiment, it's a whole beautiful, wonderful story that for, 6 years now and ongoing, we've all been able to be a part of.
So, and how much different is this going from online, DMing online for short prison, like things that are for people to watch also as entertainment, to these more intimate but very intense 24-hour sessions?
Yeah, one of my favorite things, I think, is because I have so much experience running long campaigns, specifically ones online with the gaming groups that I've been a part of. It's really delightful to be able to play with people I haven't played with before, but in a very intense atmosphere for 3 days. Because we're essentially playing like 6 months of campaigns worth of D&D in the course of like 3 days, because you're gaming so much. You know, if you think about it, if you're playing like with your buddies 3 hours, you know, every session, you're playing 8 or 9 hours here a day. That's 3 sessions in like one time. And you, over the course of many months, that's the same as a long campaign. So it's really delightful to be able to like have that challenge and to have nothing else matter except the game and the story and the people you're playing with. Nothing in between. It's really lovely. The thing I love about this experience in general is that it's about being present in the story. And so it helps me get out of my head, because you have to think on the fly. You have to be ready to adjust. You don't know who's going to be at your table. You may never have played with them before. And it keeps me and my creativity very fresh. So if I feel stuck, in other capacities. I just have to get back in touch with the energy that I get to manifest and create here in order to help me break through other stories.
D&D in a Castle is not just about the RPG sessions. It's a big show, starting off with a costume ball or banquet. All the DMs dress up, and there's a little ceremony where each party introduces themselves and gets amulets that will have effects in-game and can be traded with other groups.
We will make some hoopoo. Yes.
During dinner, comedy skits tell the story of how the castle is under attack by the Tarrasque.
Silver's doing magnificent, no thanks to you.
The Tarrasque lumbering in the distance. What are we going to do? The last time it took a wish scroll to get rid of the Tarrasque.
Oh yeah, the person who goes up front is also asked to just say a few sentences, one or two sentences about what we're going to do.
They do that. Everyone works together to roll up a character who's supposed to fight the monster.
Two!
Magic user!
One.
A 15!
That is Arna.
My name is Todd, and we are, we have ventured to this large capital city for various purposes, for an address from the Empress. Partway through this address, she was beset by rogues and scoundrels, people screaming "Viva la Revolution!" and we slayed them.
Wonderful! What are you rolling for?
We are rolling for the last name, the surname of Sir Blake.
Arna. What are your options?
Our first option is Blue Fang. The second option is Fire Sprint. The third option is Ashborn. Fourth is Spindlecast. Fifth is Dangfall. And the sixth will be Grimbarrow.
Excellent. Go ahead and roll for us up here for our surname.
Whee!
A six!
We rolled a six. Their surname will be Grimbarrow.
Excellent. Thank you.
Their only chance is the wish spell, and players are supposed to find the missing scroll by solving riddles and taking part in activities in the castle. There are several more challenges after dinner, where people can earn tokens needed to boost the castle character's dismal stats. One of the easiest ones is a short Renaissance dance lesson.
Thank you.
but there's also creative vicious mockery, singing, chess, and more.
The trial of blushes. The goal is to deliver a compliment, but with the venom of an insult. 17. It is offensive how resplendent your attire is tonight. So gorgeous it is that it makes me die of envy. You see? Simplicity itself.
And people can roll on a table?
If you choose not to invent a compliment of your own, we have a handy compliment table that you can roll randomly on.
Which we need to unlock the scroll?
To defeat the Tarrasque by unlocking the scroll and improving Sir Arnie's stats.
He definitely needs them.
I mean, all for the game and the game for all.
Huzzah! Excellent, excellent. Now I shall give you bounty and share with you my interpretation. Are you ready? Here you go. One for writing, one for singing, so I say. Change a word, earn a third. And one for delivering on time. And this is my interpretation is thus. By sacrifices great and small, we live a dream within these walls to build each other's magical. I honor yours, you mine with all, and in this way we heed the call. All for the game and the game for all.
Thank you, Doug. This is the trial of Tiamat's five-headed dragon chess. So Justin is playing five people at the same time. And what I love about this is that I don't think they did this on purpose, but they almost color-coordinated to have all the five chromatic dragon colors in there. So we might have to substitute purple for blue. But it's pretty good.
We're doing for a trial of fumbling. You start with seven dice. It's a two-step process. The first is to try to catch as many as you can on the back of your hand. The second part, where you actually finalize it, is however many you can catch in the palm of your hand. I've caught four because I then dropped one. So my score on that throw is four.
Okay.
So to do the castle dice, if you'd like to give it a try, you can have a couple throws to practice and warm your hands, train your hands around the dice, and then we take your highest score of five throws.
Okay.
And so you just pick them all up and throw again.
She makes it look so easy.
Yes.
Oh, you like me to hold your microphone?
Yes.
All right, here we go.
These are heavy, by the way. Okay.
It's better that they're heavy. They don't bounce.
Ouch.
All right.
Okay, I shouldn't throw them.
This is the fun part, is watching everyone try and follow Tara.
One. Wow.
Now catch your palm.
Yay!
But let me show you a few ways you can use this in D&D that's super fun. Another thing you can do is PvP. Just immediately, everybody, you take your set of seven, you say go, and you toss and see who gets the highest score. Then
you, every time.
Another thing you can do is suppose you're the DM, and you might say, okay, you are walking down the road, and there is a traveling merchant, and he has some things, some magic items maybe in his purse, or some coins, or whatever it is that he has, and how many does he drop as he walks by you? Oh, he drops one. He drops one. You have two. And then the other one is something like you're the DM, and say, you say there's a rogue NPC and you have a certain number of items, however many dice. You have a certain number of items in your bag or your pocket or whatever, and the rogue's going to try to steal them from you as the DM, as the bad guy. So you'll say, how many? Okay, you've got seven gold pieces or whatever in your pocket or magic items or whatever. How many did he steal?
None.
All of them.
All of them. Okay.
They stole all of them, as many as the DM can catch. That's how many. Maybe you can say, how many can you steal back? You try to get them back, and then you toss and say, oh, but I got five of them back. So these are just like some little things and little ways you can use your dice, and it's just fun because you can show off your dice. You can use them in a different way, and it's kind of a fun little in real life tactical thing. And you'll get better at this by doing it even just a couple of times.
The main game sessions begin the next day. It's 24 hours of gaming over 3 days, or 36 hours for hardcore mode.
Bramble told me about.
Her name is Bramble?
Yes.
No. So your name is Wrath, for that was brought me into the world.
My name's Damakaros. I shouldn't have said that.
And for those staying for both events, it's the second half of a 48 hours campaign. In these, the players make their way through all editions of D&D.
If I don't roll a natural one, I'm going to hit you.
Yeah.
So roll a natural one.
That's why we dropped it down.
This is also in the 50th year of Dungeons & Dragons, so as far as I understand, not everything at the castle right now is like the usual thing that's happening. So some of this is for the birthday of the game.
Yeah, so the 50th anniversary, of course, is quite a celebratory year for D&D as a whole, and they are releasing and have released some of the rules for the 2024 rule set. So in celebration of that, we did have the idea of the Chronicle Mode expansion, or rather this extended two-round campaign. And the original idea was really a celebration of D&D where it would go through the major editions of D&D, a different edition each day, and your character would morph into the new edition as you went through, the next edition, the next edition, the next edition. And that was the brainchild of Chris Hatley, who's one of our DMs, and it was piloted and put together and marketed, and people jumped in so readily that we had to come up with a second Chronicle Mode because people really wanted to be involved in this celebratory, let's dig into the history of D&D over the course of the campaign at D&D in a Castle, the premier D&D vacation event. So we have these two campaigns that are running for a full 8 days of game time, but there's some extra days in between, which we also filled with more activities for Dungeon Masters to learn from other Dungeon Masters, etc. So those were the new things, this in-between times, Castle Days, that was the launch party for Dungeon Masters University, as well as these two Chronicle Modes that actually bookended those days as well. Those were all brand new to this experience, this time round at D&D in a Castle.
There is one thing I might point you to that I think whatever is stirring down below is gnawing on the roots of this land. There's nearly continuous food from the hotel buffet, but English food, mind you, and snacks and non-alcoholic drinks for free around the clock, so players don't need to worry about anything but their next encounter.
Dex saves, everybody. Dex saves. Those of you that have your bardic inspiration left, remember that you have it. You absolutely will need it.
So, I've been told that if I go to B. Dave Walter's table, we will fight Tiamat and we will all cry in the end. Is that like your secret sauce? It's going to be epic level god slaying stuff? And
you may or may not fight Tiamat. That's really up to you. Like, all you got to do is realize that Tiamat was right the entire time and tell her she's smart and she's pretty and it's fine.
Yeah,
right?
Five times.
That's true. Like, all. Yes. Yes, my brand is definitely, I do almost exclusively high level in these events, level 20, major fate of the universe, fate of the world, fate of all worlds sort of hangs on it. And yes, I do tend to skew very emotionally intense in my stories, because I very much believe that the Dungeon Master's job is to elicit an emotional response. Be it happy, be it sad, be it nodding yes, shaking your head no, leaning in, pulling back. As long as a human being is feeling something, you're succeeding. So yes, I do, in fact, judge my success by how quickly I can make someone cry. That is true. And but it's cathartic. You get it out. You just get it out.
I'm wondering, what does B. Dave Walters do when he's not at a castle? Listening to how many you do, probably most of your time is spent preparing for these and traveling to them and going back home.
I'm like, that's my secret. I don't prepare. No. I'm like, you stay ready. You don't have to get ready. No, I am blessed to do a lot of dungeon mastering and travel all over the world running games. That is true. I also write for film and television, screenwriter. I've been blessed to be able to do a lot of things with the written word, write comic books, novels, graphic novels. So I'm pretty much always somewhere telling stories. Ideally with a camera on, but not always. But yeah, somewhere telling stories is probably, or at the gym. That's kind of where you can find me.
Jim Zup is a first-time Castle DM, but otherwise very well known for his D&D and Conan comics.
You're a professional in lots of different fields, but this is your first time doing this with people like Mark, who've done this for years now. Yes. Are you nervous?
I was really nervous when I came initially. Honestly, so I lucked out that I was able to show up a few days early and do the what they call Dungeon Master University. I did the keynote speech. I was really nervous about that because there's so many people here that I respect what they do and I consider them peers and friends. And I wanted to be able to passionately talk about why I love role-playing games and why I love Dungeons and Dragons so much and how it changed my life in a way that was very personal to me, but I think speaks to why we all do this stuff and the type of connectivity that we long for in our lives that we can find through fiction. And I feel very closely that if we could introduce more people to role-playing games, that we would find more common ground and we would build better things together outside of those stories.
I absolutely agree with you, and I just wish the best for your group, that the chaos coalesces into something brilliant and that you all have fun, including you.
Right, and that's what it's all about. It's really about making memories, and I feel like we're already doing that. I'm definitely a lot more comfortable, I think, than I was a day ago. You're asking about how nervous I was. It's just like you want to be able to meet and exceed player expectation. And that's where part of my pride comes from. So I'm having a good time because they're having a good time. Yeah, having a good time because they're laughing and smiling and engaging with it. We had a couple of moments this morning where, even though it's a fun group and there's a good atmosphere with them, we had a couple tense moments that I purposely kind of tuned up. And I was curious to see if they would. Some groups, I think, will try and break a tense moment with humor because they don't want to feel uncomfortable. And I wanted to hold it just a little bit longer, and they held it with me. And that speaks really well to, you know, that we're all getting along well. Honestly, I wouldn't be a writer without Dungeons & Dragons. It lit that creative fire in me that made me want to tell stories and make things, not just passively watch, you know, other people's stuff. And so for me, it all kind of ties together. I'm known for comics, but I still do some game writing. But it's all role play. When I'm writing comics, it's role play. I do. Seriously, when you're writing the Avengers, it's not my job to make the characters sound like me. It's my job to role play what they would do in the situations I put them in. What would Steve Rogers do, right?
The right thing, usually.
Right. You know, and he'd probably do it with some amazing soaring rhetoric about the American dream, and he's the Sentinel of Liberty, or this whatever, you know, whoever it might be. But that's true of when I was writing, you know, Minsk and Boo in the D&D comics, or whether I'm writing Conan the Barbarian, or if I'm writing Wanda Maximoff, or just any of those characters. They've got their own personalities, and I always think of it in terms of role-playing. And sometimes I'm more the dungeon master, and I have control of the world, and other times it feels like the game, the story, is running away, and I'm trying to hold on tight, you know? And playing the games and running the games, you know, with my friends and or in a formal setting like this is always a good exercise. It's a good exercise in creativity. It's a good exercise in improv. It's a fun way to spend time and meet people and get to know them. And I just, yeah, it all feels very kind of tied together for me.
Mark Meer is probably the most famous among the DMs. He's the voice of the male Commander Shepard in the Mass Effect games, along with lots of smaller roles, and several characters from Dragon Age and the remaster of Baldur's Gate. During a streaming event, he realized how much fun professional DMing was. Here, he's showing us how he sets up a new encounter for the castle game.
This is my very Halloween-y game. They began in the Yawning Portal in Waterdeep on Liar's Night, and they were abducted from there and sent on a variety of quests. They've been to the Domains of Dread in Darkon. They've also gone to Greyhawk, to the Lands of the Horn Society, to the Temple of Moloch, where they retrieved the Book of Vile Darkness. The first item that they retrieved was the head, which had been taken by the Dullahan, the Headless Horseman. So the prize of the Dullahan they took from him. They took the Book of Vile Darkness. The last item that they've been sent to fetch is Baba Yaga's Mortar and Pestle. She, of course, would not necessarily willingly part with that. So we'll see if they can bargain for it. Trickery might suffice, but she's pretty canny. Deception is pretty hard to pull off against a hag. I have had players just be very upfront and let them know that they're let her know that they're being blackmailed into doing this. We've had people who've been members of the Fae Court who've just been very upfront with her and thrown themselves on her mercy. And that usually works if they're very polite. Being polite to Baba Yaga is probably the most important thing.
And maybe bring snacks.
And bring snacks as well, unless you want to be the snacks.
I mean, bring one of your friends as a snack.
Yeah, you could do that as well. This party has a number of evil characters in it, so we'll see what direction they want to go with that. But essentially, I'm just going to build a little clearing here. These trees will be around here. And I also have, these are by Monster Fight Club. Very good terrain. So we have trees, but they can also have autumn leaves on them.
A show like this would never work without roadies. Anytime the DMs need something quick, there's a team ready to help out. And a huge library of props is set up for everyone's use.
Hopper and Gemma are two of the people who keep everything running behind the scenes. And as far as my experience goes, you are the people without you, everything would grind to a halt. So how did they manage to snag you to run this for them?
So I actually was a guest last November here at D&D in a Castle. It was my first time in Europe and first time playing D&D in a Castle. And I was with my friends who are here this year again. And I was already looking for a new job. And it was actually a bet between me and my friend. She wanted to get the courage to talk to a dungeon master about marketing. And I was like, well, if you do it, I'll go talk to D&D in a Castle about getting a job. And so I walked up to the CEO and said, how do I work here? And she said, send me your resume, and I continued to email them for once a month for 4 months until a job position opened up. So I like to say I annoyed my way into working here, and it has been the best annoyance I've ever done.
I mean, it was a test of stamina, which is needed at a thing like this. And how has it been for you?
So one of the DMs, Chris Hatley, is actually a longtime friend. And in March of last year, he brought us over to just kind of observe everything that was going on behind the scenes. And yeah, we arrived in October and now they don't let me leave. And that's how I'm here. Yeah. Yeah, no, actually bound to the castle.
Okay,
yeah.
Like forever.
Yeah, so, like a patron at this point, yeah.
So how would you describe what you are doing? Because I've seen you carving candles, carrying stuff around, marking which miniatures go where, and printing things out and everything. So what is it that you do?
Yeah, so I am the CEO's assistant, so whatever she wants me to do, whatever the queen of the castle wants, but a lot of it boils down to making sure that the players and the dungeon masters have everything they need. So as you see all the stuff behind us, if they need a giant dragon, we fly a giant dragon down to their game. If they want a cutout of zombies for their board, I cut out zombies for their board. And so it really is just taking care of all of the little behind the scenes things, so that way the players have no idea there's anything going around them except the game right in front of them.
Okay, so you're just like god fairies, just yes, working in the background.
Kind of, yeah. Mm-hmm. I am mostly terrain master, so I'm the one that was responsible for organizing and inventorying all of this so that we can better keep track of where they're going, who has them, who wants them, and for how long for. And other than that, I'm also kind of just the... this weird thing needs to be done. I'll figure out a way to do it, I suppose. Like, yeah, I like a challenge, so send it my way.
Oh, yeah. And I need to ask, what was the weirdest request you got so far from the runs that you've been part of? Because, I mean, the carving of the wand?
From a candle, yeah, pretty odd. Not so much odd, but I NPC'd one of my characters for Chris, Papa the Kobold, who is a whirlwind of chaos. So that was weird in, you know, just Papa, as opposed to the actual request itself. Yeah, just lots of, can you be this monster? We did have a plan for Mark 1 year that if he needed something delivered, if I could find like a skeleton hand glove and kind of just put my hand through the door and then as it retracts, just be like, but unfortunately we didn't get round to that. But yeah, that's okay. Normal part of my job here.
Okay. And what was the oddest thing you've done?
I think odd and fun is we have a little felt board that we do for dinner for the little meta event show, like the Tarrasque is taking over the castle for the 50th anniversary. And so I got to make a Tarrasque out of felt and to make the Lumley Castle out of felt and puff paint. And I was like, this is the weirdest job I've ever had, where I'm making a castle for a bunch of D&D nerds. But it's the most fun job.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What I wanted to ask. And we're not paid by D&D in a castle or anything, or at least... this is our documentary, so you can be honest. So, I mean, it's a job, but is it fun?
Oh yeah, 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 without a doubt.
Yeah, we were just talking today about how it is a lot of long hours and a lot of lack of sleep. And after 3 weeks, your body is starting to feel it. But then when you have a customer come up to you and say, "I'm having the best time ever. I've made so many new friends," and you just see this beautiful community of people who gather around together and take care of one another, that goes, okay, yeah, I would love to come back and do this again, no matter I'm going to have to sleep for the next 3 weeks after this. But it's just this slice of heaven, I feel like, is what we create here in magic. And so, yeah, absolutely. And I have a blast getting a run around and talk about D&D.
Oh, same. Yeah. As Hoppa says, like, when you get, like, that compliment from a guest, it's like a healing word almost of just like, ah... I feel better. My knees have reconstructed themselves after all of the stairs. Like, I'm good now. I can continue. Just thanks to you being lovely towards me.
Okay. And I'm going to end this with a thank you for keeping everything running smooth like magic. You request something and things appear out of thin air. Or sometimes if you find one, maybe in the future, with a skeleton glove. So... thank you.
No problem at all. It's a pleasure to be around all of the wonderful DMs, because we've genuinely never had a DM who isn't fantastic at this castle, yourself included.
Thank you. I'm just going to awkwardly shuffle out of frame now. What makes you come back? Is it just the whole thing being in a castle, or is it the pampering that you get as a DM here?
Well, we are treated very nicely. There's no denying that. The castle staff and the D&D in a castle team really goes out of its way to try to take away as much distraction and stress as possible so that we can focus on delivering the best game that we can. And that's a rare occurrence, right? Because mostly we all play at home and it can be full of distractions and inconveniences, even though it's a lot of fun. What keeps me coming back, I think, are three things. One, yes, it's D&D in a castle. And how often do you get a chance to play, you know, the world's most famous role-playing game? And it's what you might consider to be a natural environment, or its natural environment. And there's something unique and special and atmospheric about it. Two, it's the people we play with. I have the table that we were just talking about of players who return more than once to play at my table. They could be anywhere. They could be doing anything. They choose to spend that time here with me. I think that's about the highest compliment any of us could possibly be given. And so I feel honored, and I take that very seriously. But then sometimes you have tables of people you've never met before. You'd have no idea really who they are until you play together. But you discover it very quickly through role-playing. Tabletop is a pretty intimate experience, especially when it's concentrated like this. 3 days of intense games. I mean, for many people, the amount of time we get to play together here would be months of gaming at home. considering how short many games are, right? So it really is concentrated. And you get to know people very well and very closely. And I like the enjoyment of bringing new people together to play. We play to see what happens in the story. And the number three reason that I like to do it is because I feel it makes me a better game master, okay. a better DM, a better storyteller. I learn something new every time I'm here from my players and from my fellow dungeon masters. And I bring those techniques home to my games. I bring them to games that I write, other games that I run. I bring them to LARP, of course. And I think I would not, I think I would really miss it, all those three of those things, if I didn't do it.
The group has really come together, and they've already gelled in a really fun way. We've already got some fun in-jokes at the table, and there's a good sense of camaraderie, which I think is so, so critical, particularly when you're with strangers, because you just don't know if those personalities are going to mesh, and they seem to be, they're hanging together well. I'm noticing they're also spending time together even outside of the sessions, which always speaks well that friendships are forming, which is the whole reason why you do these things, you know, the social aspect of it.
So, Mark, as far as I understand it, you are like the guy holding the highest number of Carcel games that you've played or run so far, and B. Dave is just trying to creep up on you in second place?
I mean, so I'm told. I actually, as far as I've not done the math myself, but I am told that I've done the most in total. And I think it's B. Dave and Alyssa and I are almost neck and neck with each other. But I'm very happy to hear that I'm apparently in the lead. That's great.
Yes. Everyone says so.
Oh, really? Well, then who am I to argue with everyone? So there was no D&D in a castle in 2020 or 2021. They didn't come back till 2022. But I was first in line saying that I would like to be a dungeon master for that. So I've done most subsequent events, whether the spring session or the fall session. And now, of course, they have the summer session in the United States. I just did the first United States castle, which was Landall's Mohican Castle in Ohio. And I had a great time as well. It's a very different experience to doing one in an authentic British castle.
Yeah, less castle-ish and more big house-ish.
Yes, yeah. But the ones in the States, at least, you know, the one that I've done so far, are far more like fantasy castles because they weren't historical castles. They were built by, let's face it, eccentric rich people. And then when those eccentric rich people pass away, they tend to get turned into hotels. And that is certainly the case in Landall's. And it has a much more fantasy feel to it. It felt very much like Rivendell, just in the style of the main building. And it's a bit more of a D&D summer camp set up there because you have the main building, which has some of the rooms in it. Most of the other rooms are in different buildings on the site. There's a tavern on the site. That's where I played my games. And we all, of course, go to a main hall for meals and things like that. So yes, it does feel like D&D summer camp for adults. But lots of fun there. And I certainly do enjoy here at Lumley because this was the very first castle that I did. It is the main one that we're doing here in the UK. And the staff here is always fantastic and very welcoming. This was one of the first times that I was fairly convinced the entire party might throw in with the villain willingly. Because several of the characters were of evil alignment, and even those ones that weren't were fairly self-interested, and they had been promised certain rewards for doing the bidding of the evil villain. So I did think there was a good chance that the party was actually going to side with the bad guy. I did have a backup plan for that. I would have some good guys show up, some of whom they'd already met. So they might have thrown in with the villain and then found themselves facing Minsk in the final battle, Minsk, who they'd met earlier. So, and he's fairly tough, so that he would have been a challenge.
You know what I'm going to ask. Can you give me a Minsk impression?
Of course. I had to do it several times through the course of the game. Minsk and Boo will smite the evil! That was what my Minsk.
Thank you so much.
Yes, could have used you as Boo. Yes, my Boo is not half as good as that.
My guest spot as the hamster. Do you think they've stand good chances, or are you one of the DMs who is rooting for the characters and who will make sure they get a happy ending, or can people really fail and it's going to end tragic?
Both. Okay. I mean, I am absolutely here for the heroes to be heroes and for the players' greater good. I've been playing this game since not quite the beginning. This is the 50th year, but I've been playing for about 33 years because I'm way older than I look. And the number one evolution of this game is it used to be adversarial. Mm. It was you versus the DM. They were trying to kill you and you were trying to live. And it has evolved into a story that we're telling together. Because if my goal was just to see them fail, I mean, the Dungeon Master controls everything. We could, you know, rocks fall, everybody dies. That joke, I'd be like, you just have a heart attack, sucks, you know? So that's not my goal. My goal is I do make things very difficult, and I make them difficult on purpose, because when you overcome those things, it feels so much better. Like, people think they want it easy. They think they want to just run over everything. They don't. They really don't. They want to have to fight and scrape for it, because when they get to that other side, it is just so much more fulfilling.
Yeah.
So, yes, I put them in a meat grinder, but in these circumstances in particular, it is pretty difficult to end on a loss, even though some things may end on an emotionally lower note. But the way I'll tell my stories is, it's like, if something tragic is about to happen, it's because you chose it. You know, like I may put you in a situation where I'm like, well, the bomb's about to go off and you can run or you can jump on it. And if you jump on it, you're going to save everybody. And if you run, it's 50-50. And now in that moment, if you tell me, well, I jump on it, well, you've now died a hero, but that's not a happy ending, you know, but because it's the ending you chose, it is still going to be a fulfilling ending, if that makes sense.
And it's not going to be the end of the universe.
Correct. And thanks to you, you know, I mean, and also
I'm the one jumping on the personally. Grenade.
No, but you saved the universe. That's all I'm saying. It's like, spoiler alert. Myri saved the universe. Yeah.
I've been trying to keep it secret for years now, so thank you.
I feel like the story's done by the time they see this, so we're like, but yeah, it's. But I truly take seriously the opportunity to let people be a hero, because the hardest part about the world right now, and I know you'll be shocked to hear this, is
embracing.
A lot of times our enemies don't have faces, and even if we know their faces, very rarely do they face justice. Here, you get an opportunity to be like, that is your enemy and they can be defeated. That what you do, you're at cause in the narrative. That the choices you make matter. What you do and don't do matters. And life doesn't always give us that. The feeling that whether or not I stand up is going to make all the difference. And I think that is something I want to make sure they get to have and get to feel. I mean, all jokes aside, I take very seriously that chance for the person to get to be the hero that they envision, you know? And I set terrible circumstances to give them the opportunity to be heroes.
Yeah. Did I learn anything from doing video games that I could... Well, I would say that I honed my voice acting skills. You know, I, of course, in addition to Dungeons & Dragons, I had a lot of improv experience and things like that. And, of course, you play a lot of characters in improv. But I would say, yes, I honed my ability to do many voices in a single session by doing video games. And I think that has improved. Although I would say improv has probably – my improv training has come in the most handy, being able to take it back to Dungeons & Dragons, because – Dungeons & Dragons is nothing but collective storytelling with your friends. And all the rules of improv apply to both the players and the Dungeon Master. Not blocking, accepting offers, saying yes. All of these things make a Dungeons & Dragons game so much better. Because when you're a Dungeon Master, it's not like you're just telling a story to the players. You and the players are telling a story together, and so are the dice. The dice are telling their own story, and they might take things in a completely different direction than either you or the players thought. And you have to be open to all of these offers. The offers the dice gives you, the offer your players give you. I'm very much a rule of cool Dungeon Master. Mm. You know, the rules as written, they're great. They're a good framework. If they get in the way of the narrative in a good time, they get brushed aside. And really... the most important thing is the story that you tell with your friends and And your new friends. Like we meet people, new people here at Dungeons and Dragons all the time, and I often stay in touch with them.
You jam all you of the kill death with a pie to the face.
Maybe you can put it down.
If you need a break from playing RPGs, you can take part in other activities. The castle has its own escape room.
Oh, wow.
You can try your hand at miniature painting basically any time of day.
As soon as it's down here, all you're using is your bicep, and you can't even get as far or as strong.
Or get an archery lesson on the castle grounds. Justin leads many of these activities, besides being the chess master and one of the entertainers in the skits.
There are all these things that I've just picked up along the way to offer to the castle. Chess was never anything official in D&D in a Castle until it became one of the trials in our Knight of Bounty. And it also, archery was previously something that was contracted out, but since I had a history of leading archery, then it made some sense for me to jump in and lead the archery, and that way we could really set up our own experience of archery. Anyway, so all those little things just kind of cropped up, and now we're doing these supper time skits, which comes from my acting background and theater background, that we're putting these little supper time skits together in an improv fashion so that we tell a story over the whole experience.
Who did I say was number one? Well done! You all win a prize. It's a mystery what it is. It's nothing. Okay, number one. You warn to keep a pack of villains there to hide.
One of the activities ties directly into the plot of the event. Relic Race is a scavenger hunt encompassing the whole castle.
Tomes of knowledge, fast and deep, blazing fire you want to keep.
Players are sent to look for parts of the wish spell scroll, solving riddles along the way.
Is the letters C and R?
Excellent. Okay.
Well, this doesn't line probably up. There's a well, piece depends. That goes so, here. See, there are or... silver letters.
We're doing the Relic Race, which is a series of riddles all over the castle. So we get things for a puzzle to defeat the Tarrasque. And Mr. Punch here, which I kind of feel like might be Belinda in disguise, is leading us. And it's highly entertaining just watching Mr. Punch.
The guide for the scavenger hunt is Belinda Cornish, another voice actor you might know from Mass Effect. As Mr. Punch, she offers hints and biting remarks.
I gotta tell you, the punctuation in this thing is for shit.
That was the first time I got all three. So thank you. Thank you, Tara.
Okay, let us stay on. There's a watermark where the castle sunk. Methinks it a jape to hide the parts. Where eyes of stone who have no hearts.
Long ago, in a realm where the heavens whispered secrets to those who dared to listen, there lived a young man known as the Fool.
What's up there?
I was trying to keep hold these down.
Now, so it's an A.
There you go. Now begin again.
Release the spell with the oath you swore in unison to lines no more. Shall break the curse and you shall receive the magic aid to help you perceive. So, our oath. Our oath. Okay. So, and we have to say it all.
They did it.
How?
It's
glowing.
They did it.
What are you doing? You're going to give me some kind of seizure.
I mean, you're welcome.
What did we do?
Take it. Got a search.
Ooh. Oh.
The answer you see
is in the letters C and R.
What does that say?
Wish.
Wish. Ta-da. That's helpful. Okay.
Finally, the wish spell is complete. And the castle is saved, probably. Just in time, we only have one more night at the castle. Most of the campaigns are done, and only a few stragglers are still playing, some of them even after the closing ceremonies.
So the wish scroll that was spent before, that's been restructured, is now saying friends.
Is the wish scroll we were searching for all the time actually the friends we made on the way?
The friends we made on the way. Let's see if we can make a friend of the dress, shall we? Let's try and put the wish spell together with something like, we wish to befriend Tarrasque.
We wish to befriend Tarrasque. We wish to befriend Tarrasque. We wish to befriend Tarrasque.
So get the deity of the castle staff that includes Hopper and Tara and
Justin.
As a DM, the castle was stressful but fun. My players were excited. There was a lot of laughter and maybe a few tears along the way, and I got to use beautiful minis and terrain. Some I brought myself, some from the library, or even on loan from other DMs who were always ready to help out. There was a friendly camaraderie among the DMs, the team was great, and everyone we asked was excited and happy.
Okay, so how would you describe this D&D in a castle? Because, like, you've both been doing Chronicle Mode, right?
Yeah, we did Chronicle Mode, yeah. So this D&D in a castle, it's my favorite. I've been doing it since year one, and this has been OG. This is definitely probably one of the best sets of players and DMs, and the vibe was just incredible, and people are just happy, and yeah, super amazing. Like, super amazing. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd agree. This is my 15th round, and the players that I've had understood the assignment. They came on board for, because I was running the edition by edition game. They loved the history of it. They loved the silliness of it. We transitioned from stupid, immature jokes through to really heart-rending emotional moments. Without it ever feeling forced, it was a cracking event.
Okay. And Lisa, you've also been among the first to ever step foot as a DM in the castle. So
Tim and I were at the very first castle when it was in France, and I will agree, but I think that every single round is amazing in its own way. Every single table is unique. Yeah. The way that the bonds are formed here, I often say that it's like summer camp, where people, once they're here, and I know that my table just put down deposits for next year, once you're here, you get... so many new friendships, so many new bonds, and people want to keep coming back because it's like coming home to old friends that you've made. And I know it sounds really cheesy, but it really is something that everyone looks forward to year after year after year. And I've made so many amazing friends with not only the fellow DMs and staff, but also with players. And we all sit and share our stories of both in-game and out-of-game. And I mean, there was a proposal at the table last night. Yeah. And like, these are magical moments that you just...
There was a proposal
at Mark's table last night.
No.
Yes.
In game
during the epilogue. And it was a complete surprise. And I mean, that's the type of magic that you're going to get here, because there's like a shared, not shared consciousness, but a shared love for this thing that has brought us all to the table over and over and over again throughout our lives. And it's just, you can't capture. This is like magic in a bottle.
Yeah, no, it's like you said, summer camp. We have so much fun. It's just joy and giddiness, and yeah, it sucks having to leave sometimes, but it's like in a good way. It's that good feeling, right? Like, you're like, oh my God, this is so good. Yeah.
When that shuttle leaves, there will be tears on people leaving and ours, because it happens every single time, because we don't want it to be over, and it goes so fast.
Yeah. Absolutely. What keeps us coming back? Joy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just pure joy. Like, how can you not want to do anything but... You get to share a story with a group of people for, like, anything, and it's just awesome. Like, nothing about it is trite. Mm. It's exactly what you kind of... You need... I don't know. The words don't really work. Like, it's joy.
it's difficult to put into words kind of what the castle's like. You can tell people what it's like, and it doesn't encapsulate what it feels like to be here. I can tell people till the cows come home that everyone's friends. Everyone works towards a mutually beneficial shared experience. But that doesn't encapsulate what it feels like to be in a 13th century castle playing make-believe with other people who really, really want to play make-believe. It's tough to really explain. You kind of have to experience it.
Yeah, again, magic in a bottle. I've gotten the great opportunity in my career to be able to play D&D and other games just all over the world in conventions and with friends, and I will always love my home game that I get to play, and I'm so fortunate, but there is nothing else in the world like this.
Nowhere but D&D in a castle would you have somebody coming into the table, walking in, grabbing a mini that looks like Zariel and yelling at German in the player.
And I bow down and grab the hair of the angel and drag it up to softly speak to it, and only the one of you who speaks Infernal will understand what I'm saying. Fürchte dich nicht. Nein, freue dich. Denn die Zeit ist gekommen, dass der Zorn, der so lange verborgen war, endlich eine Form annimmt, um zu handeln.
Right? Right? Like it doesn't happen at conventions because there's too much going on and there's too much noise. But an event like this, where you've got your own private space and you've got DMs who are all very good at just like, this is the thing that I need from me, and you come in and just make it happen. That was perfection. And then to have our player respond back in German, who is the only one who can speak Infernal, by the way.
It's amazing.
And we have no idea he could speak German, and he starts, and both of us are just like, what? Whoa! The whole table just went, way!
Yeah, that's exactly the type of moment that, like, every night, everybody, you know, retires downstairs and sits around and talks about what happened in their game. And I enjoy walking around and kind of eavesdropping on all of the tables and listening to these amazing stories. And I just, no matter where I walk, everyone is so excited to talk about what happened that day. And you don't get that type of intimacy with people you just met to be able to tell those shared stories and like anywhere, and even in your home games. And a lot of people don't have the ability to get together very often for regular home games, and to get a full campaign put together just for you. And well, I mean, I did too. Just Odd Chronicle. I did two campaigns back to back instead of one longer one, but still having essentially 7 to 8 sessions in a row with prologue and everything and epilogue. 7 to 8 sessions in a row would normally at home take, at least if you play once a week, at least 2 months of time.
Yeah.
But we have this all condensed in this, 4-day period of pure awesomeness. And I don't know. Yeah. Again, it's hard to put it into words, but it's real and it's magic.
The formula they have come up with works.
How's this castle been for you? Was it a different situation, or was it special being the 50th anniversary?
I'm not sure. It's always so special. It's hard. It surpasses itself every time. So,
okay. What is it that makes you come back as a storyteller to do this? Because everyone has agreed that they are bone tired now.
Oh, yeah. I'm exhausted. But the players keep me really energized. So, yeah, I say to myself, oh, yeah, I'll be fine. I've had 3 hours of sleep. I can keep going for another 12, 13 hours of gaming today. And then the adrenaline hits me and I'm off. So
it's the player's feedback, the intensity?
Yeah, all of that stuff.
Whether as a player or as a DM, the event is a wish fulfillment.
Did you enjoy it?
Yes, it's been a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's been everything that we hoped and dreamed of. You know, we've been talking about this trip for a while, so we just had an amazing time.
Okay, since it is a rather pricey way to spend your vacation, is it worth the price of admission to you?
I'd say so. I'd say, we started our first day on D&D, and this is kind of like the pinnacle for us. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the ideal D&D experience, and I think it's worth every penny. I mean, the friends that we've made, the experiences that we had at the table, the role play, the voice acting, the props. I mean, you really get immersed here, and that's really big for me, so I'd say it's worth it.
Yes, I mean, I just agree everything beyond that.
It's always great. DMs are great. Campaigns are always great with new people. Everyone is here just to play D&D and have fun. It's amazing.
The week was incredible. It's honestly an incredible experience to have such a condensed form of tabletop role playing and to have the opportunity to play games with world-class D&D dungeon masters and with all of the minis and in this environment. It obviously has an enormous price tag attached to it, but personally I've had a once-in-a-lifetime experience, a real bucket list experience, and if that's not worth it, then I'm not sure what is, really, because I'm taking away a lot of memories. And just the opportunity to play games with the kind of people that we're playing games with and to have role-play experiences like that, incredible. Like, they end up being in my dreams and thoughts for years to come. So I personally find it very much worthwhile.
We're trying to decide on what we were going to do for our honeymoon, and we just were like, I've never been to a castle. I want to play D&D in a castle.
Yeah. So how's it going so far? Don't be polite. So just be honest.
Amazing.
Really?
Seriously amazing. The sights, the everything, the location, the people, the games, the random entertainment. I mean, very random. The service. It's seriously surreal.
And this game itself, you know, this is why we came here, and I'm loving it.
The big thing was when I saw the time slot, I knew it was going to be the week of the elections, and I knew I would need a big escape during that time, and I thought, what better way than to literally leave the country and head to a fantasy realm? And so that's why I ended up deciding to come.
So, that you don't have to answer if you don't want to, has it worked?
In a large part, thanks to you, the world you've created here truly has been amazing and been very easy to get ourselves lost into. Honestly, everybody here has just been so nice and open, and it's been really easy to get to know people here.
So, Peter, as far as I understood, you basically brought your whole family over for D&D in a castle.
We did. We have become hugely involved in D&D in the last 5 years. I grew up playing it as a teenager and hadn't played it for decades until about 5 years ago. And when we started, my kids got excited and involved. My wife got excited and involved. And we've been playing in multiple campaigns for the last several years. So when the opportunity to take a family vacation happened, we haven't done a family vacation since the pandemic. When this popped up on our radar screens, everybody just decided that was the right thing to do.
Okay, so I think that's a lot to organize. You're here with four people, yeah, and finding groups and everything. So has it worked out so far?
It has. It's been great. I mean, we came in very late in this cycle. We had originally planned to book for summer of next year. But my wife's birthday is next week, and we decided it was a good week to try to shoot for it. So we were very lucky. The staff here was amazingly accommodating to get us into sessions. We had to split up into three. So one of my kids is in one group. My other kid is with me in this group, and then my wife is in a third group. So we landed in three groups, and it's actually worked out very well. I think every table you go to is different. Every DM brings a different set of skills. I have spent most of my time playing VTT-based remote games for the last several years to be at a table literally, with miniatures that you don't often get to see, especially miniatures and sets that are this well presented, and to sit at a table with people who are nearby and have someone bring this amazing storytelling and presence to the room is a whole other kind of D&D.
Das ist eine einmalige Gelegenheit mit einigen der besten DMs.
It's a unique opportunity to play with some of the best DMs our hobby has to offer and to find yourself among your tribe on your holiday. The castle is full of people who share the same interests. You can always find someone to join at the bar to talk about D&D and board games or to theorize about your favorite TV shows. I'd call it nerd heaven.
Diskutieren, Theorien zu seinen Lieblingsfernsehshows zu vergleichen. Und es ist einfach, im englischen Diskurs nenne ich es dann immer nerd heaven.
It's been amazing. It's my third year here and I plan to keep coming back every year.
Yeah, I think I'll come back forever. That's the thing, is these days are so energizing because you get to experience all the guests that are coming out of their game rooms just bubbling with story and bubbling with this incredible adventure that they are sharing with each other and with friends at home. We wind up with guests that come to D&D in a Castle that just can't stop talking about it to their friends, and then their friends come next year, and we have guests that are so enamored with the experience of playing at the table of a world-class dungeon master such as yourself, and they become so enamored with that they can't imagine a complete feeling around playing D&D at home anymore. They just have to come back.
You get them hooked. That's evil.
Well, it's not meant to be evil. It's just, of course, if we're going to give that ultimate game of D&D, it makes a new bar for what it's like to get full immersion and a full campaign over just a few days. It makes it so much more solid of an experience when you don't break for a week and then lose track of where you are, what items you have, or exactly what words were passed back and forth, because all those memories are so tangibly close. So you end up with a completely different experience here at D&D in a Castle than you typically would at a home game over the course of months and months of playing.
The idea of going to a nice place, hunker down and play TTRPGs for several days straight with no worries about anything, with people who are just as nerdy as you. It is just the luxury version.